Kirby Smart is the head coach of the Georgia football team, and he recently said this in regards to leadership. He said, if you truly want to be honest and upfront about leadership, you can't ignore the cost of leadership. And great leaders are willing to accept those costs. Number one, you have to make hard decisions that negatively affect people you care about. Number two, you will be disliked despite your best attempts to do the best for the most. And number three, you will be misunderstood and won't always have the opportunity to defend yourself. I don't know about y'all, but that sounds a whole lot like Jesus, and it sounds a whole lot like trying to follow him as a Christian. Jesus was disliked, he was misunderstood, and I would venture to say he had to make some pretty tough decisions. But knowing the ultimate end game, it was much easier for him because of his faith, because he knew the ultimate end game and he knew what was to come. So today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about faith and how that looks in your life and maybe the seasons of faith that we go through as everyday Christians. You're not alone, okay? I don't care if you've been following Jesus for 40 years or 4 days. Everybody goes through seasons of faith. It's something that we struggle with in our human flesh. It's who we are. It's who we are born as. We're born as sinners. We struggle with this. We question, we doubt, we fear the unknown, the unseen. So if you've been a part of Vertical for any length of time and you've been here early, maybe you were here today around 10:05, 10:06, something like that, me or Christian, I don't know if you've met Christian, but me or Christian, one of us usually leads this body prior to the worship service in a prayer. And the whole point of this prayer is not so we can just get up here and speak a bunch of words. The prayer is centered around unity. And without unity, we will not see revival. Do you understand that? Revival will not happen because one person has the faith of a mustard seed. We have to be coming together as the body of Christ in unity, okay, and asking for God to show up, but knowing that he's already going to show up. Okay, so you ask for these things as though you've already received them. And so I say all that to tell you this. If you've been here the past few weeks, you may have heard me speak about a story in Mark 11. And this is the story where Jesus curses the fig tree. And God laid a message on my heart that was just too incredible not to share. And Philip agreed as he pushed me off the edge of a cliff. He said, you have to do this message or I will kick you out of the church. No, he didn't say that. But he did tell me that I had to do this. And it was because God told him I had to do that. And he spoke very specific words to Phil about Chad Vance. And so Chad Vance said, okay, I have no choice. Let's do this. So that's where we're going to kick off today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark 11, verses 12 through 14. I'm not going to read the verses to you. They will be on the screen. But find these in your Bible. Circle them, highlight them, underline them, asterisk, whatever you got to do. Save this story. And I encourage you to take these verses, any verses that are shared with you, and this is coming from me or anybody else. Anytime you hear the word of God being preached or someone says, well, it says this in the Bible, I implore you, don't just take their word for it. Go home and study it, okay? I don't care if it's Phil. I don't care if it's Billy Graham. I don't care if it's Chad Vance or somebody you just met in the grocery store. If somebody tells you that this came from the Bible and maybe you don't know that word for word because you're like me and you're not a biblical scholar, go home and study that word. Read it. Chances are the reason why you heard that word to begin with was because the Holy Spirit laid it on that person's heart to tell you that, okay? And there's maybe a hidden message that you did not realize it existed. So maybe the Holy Spirit was trying to get you to read that and figure that out for yourself. Mark 11, verses 12 through 14. So I'm going to give you the generalized summary of this story. Jesus and the disciples are on the road from Bethany to Jerusalem. I don't know if you realize this, but 2,000 years ago, vehicles did not exist, okay? So they walked a lot. These people walked a lot. I'm sure they were in incredible shape. I bet Jesus' calf muscles were like the size of watermelons. Who needs Arnold Schwarzenegger when you got Jesus Christ, right? So They walked everywhere, and the road from Bethany to Jerusalem was roughly 2 miles long. So it wasn't a short walk. I mean, 2 miles seems like nothing for us that us folks that can run 75 miles an hour down the four lane. But 2 miles walking, I don't know if anybody y'all done that, but I ain't no cardio guy. 2 miles, golly, that would just not be fun. So 2 miles walking, and this is just like an average daily thing. Like, they just did this, right? So anyways, they're on the road from Bethany, Jerusalem. They got a mission ahead of them, so they're headed to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that Jesus was hungry. Believe it or not, Jesus had to eat. So he spots a fig tree in the near distance. And the Bible says that Jesus approaches the fig tree, and the tree was in leaf. And so he walks up to the tree, and he's digging through the leaves, and he's trying to find a fig. He's hungry. So he's trying to find that fruit. But what Jesus finds is that that fig tree has no fruit. And the Bible says that the fig tree was not in its season, meaning it wasn't the time of the year for the fig tree to produce the fruits that Jesus was looking for. But Jesus does this. He steps back and he curses the fig tree. So if you're like me and probably the other disciples, you're like, Jesus, what's going on, dude? Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning or what? You know, like, what's up, man? Like, the fig tree's got the season off. It's on vacation. You know, it's not its time. It's not supposed to produce fruit. Jesus was walking the earth, specifically in the Middle East, for 30 plus years at this point in time. You would think a 30-year-old man would know this ain't the time of the year for figs to be growing on a tree. But yet he curses the fig tree and he says, no one will ever eat fruit from you again. And it says, the Bible says, this is very important, so underline this. The Bible says that the disciples heard him say it, which tells us what? That they were probably really confused, right? As the reader of this, and I'm sure as the disciples, it's very perplexing. You're like, why would you do this? Well, God laid this on my heart. The reason why Jesus curses the fig tree, it wasn't because it did not have figs. It wasn't because it wasn't in its season to produce figs. The reason why Jesus curses this fig tree is because in the presence of eternity, in the presence of Jesus Christ himself, the Lord and soon-to-be Savior of the free world, the fig tree chose to stay subject to the season in which it was in. And I wonder today how many of us are choosing life circumstances over the fruits that Jesus is calling us to produce. How many times does a circumstance in life happen that distracts you so badly you ain't even thinking about Jesus? In the presence of Jesus, seasons do not exist. When you're in the presence of eternity, I don't care if it's the middle of winter, you can still produce a fruit. So we're going to kind of get into this and what this looks like with your seasonal faith, okay? Your seasons of faith, and really in comparison to seasons of life. So can anybody tell me, in the North Georgia beautiful mountains that we get to call home, how many seasons we got? Show me on a hand. How many fingers? Somebody said six. You come see me afterwards. We got four. Four seasons. So we got winter, spring, summer, and fall, right? And we get to experience all four of these seasons. A lot of people, like down in Florida, we got any folks from Florida here? Yeah, all right. I love you guys. Florida gets, like, what, one season? You get one season. One whole season. In the beautiful North Georgia mountains, we get four. Even if sometimes it feels like it's for 3 days at a time, we do get four full seasons. And so I know from Phil previously speaking, some of you folks are really hung up on titled messages. And I bet you were thinking, oh, the new guy, another message without a title. Well, here we go. I got some good news. I got a title for you. So today's title of the message is your faith seasonal? So we're going to kick this off. We're going to start out with the winter season. So what do we know about winter? It's cold. It's gloomy. We usually associate ice and snow, no growth, right? This is the time of the year when nobody wants to be outside because it just kind of stinks. You ever looked at a tree through a window, of course, because you don't want to be outside, it's too cold. So you ever look at a tree through a window and you look at that thing and you think, man, it just looks dead. Like no leaves growing on it. If it's a fruit tree, there ain't no fruit on it. You don't see bugs crawling around, no birds chirping, flowers aren't blooming. Everything just kind of looks dead. And maybe this is the time of your seasonal faith when you just kind of feel dead in your sin. Side note, the Bible says you were dead in your sin. It does not say you were bad in your sin. It says you were dead in your sin. And that's why Jesus was ultimately sent to resurrect us from death to the grave, or to life, from the grave to life, right? So winter just kind of looks dead. And maybe that's how you feel. Maybe you've been so consumed by your sin lately that you just feel, blah, you know? You know what I'm talking about? You've been there, I know. We all have. Well, let me encourage you. If you were to go out to that same tree that we were just talking about, the one that looks dead, and you were to break a branch off of it, just snap it over your leg, what would you see inside? Chances are you would see it's green. It's probably splintery, right? Got a little bit of moisture in it. What does this mean for all you tree-loving folks out there? What does this mean? It's alive. Yeah. So let me encourage you. You may feel dead. You may look dead to the rest of the world out there because of your sin, right? Because maybe your words, your actions, the way you treat people, maybe all of these things make you appear to be dead on the outside, but you're still alive on the inside because Jesus has already conquered death. You still have the ability to be alive through Christ, right? But only through Christ. This brings us into the next season, which is spring. We got any spring lovers in the house? Yeah, y'all love spring. All right, spring's all right. So you got some stuff blooming in spring, you know. Things are starting to come to life. Starting to see some bug crawling, you know. We got some flowers starting to bloom. Everything's kind of just coming to life. But some mornings you wake up and you see what out on your grass or on the windshield of your vehicle? Frost, ice, right? So it's warming up, but it still needs to warm up some more, you know? And maybe this is the season that you're in. Maybe you came out of that winter season and you realize, like, I need something different, but you just still don't really know what that looks like, but you're looking for it. You probably started going to a church. Maybe you started seeing a Christian counselor. Maybe you've been talking to some dude at the gym that you think is a pretty cool guy, and, you know, you've heard him talk about God, you know? Maybe you have read the Bible some. You know, sometimes I open up my Bible and I read a story here and there and don't really know what it means, but I do it, you know. I think that's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. That's what they told me at the last church I went to, was that I got to read my Bible, so that's what I'm doing. I'm reading it, right? So I'm doing the right things. I'm reading my Bible. I feel pretty good about myself, but sometimes I still got that frosty heart, and I just can't shake it. I still just don't like that guy. He did me so wrong. You know, I just can't let go of that. So maybe you're waking up with bitterness in your heart. But things are kind of looking up, you know. You get into the summer months. Is everybody enjoying their summer? Nobody's enjoying summer. Okay, so we got some folks who like summer. That's good. So summer is a really cool time of the year. This is the time of the year when everything is alive and active, right? You know, your trees are growing leaves, everything's green, the flowers are going, all the hard work you put into your garden back in March, for all you gardeners out there, you're starting to be able to reap that harvest now. You're probably going out there and cutting some squash off, some okra, tomatoes. You quickly learn that you grew way too many plants to feed three people in your family. So you're giving bagfuls away to people at work and at church, and they're just letting it rot because it's way too much. Anyways, I digress. So summer is a cool time of the year, right? You got water sports, you got the river, you know, pool parties. Kids are out of school, so they're driving you up the wall. You know, it's a wonderful time of the year. Wonderful time of the year. Summer is awesome. And this is maybe what your faith looks like right now. Maybe you've never been closer to God. Maybe everything is just on fire. You are loving life. God has given you peace and joy and comfort. He surrounded you by the people that you needed in your life. You're attending church every single Sunday. You're reading your Bible multiple times a week. You and God are broskies. You know, you guys are just like really hitting it off. And you feel like everything's going good. But, you always tend to worry about the next season to come. What happens if I lose my job? What happens if this politician gets voted in and the economy falls? What happens if gas prices go through the roof and I can't afford to get back and forth to work? What happens? There's always a stipulation in our what? In our faith. We only believe, we only want to believe when everything is perfect. And that's not what Jesus is calling us to do. Jesus calls us to believe with our whole heart, no matter the circumstance, no matter the season. And the point of all this is that you are not subject to any season that you are in. That tree that looked dead back in winter has no claim on that tree's life. It's just in a season. Just like winter has no claim on your faith or on your heart. Let me encourage you with something about the summer months. Wildfires tend to spread in the summer months. You understand that? This is the time of the year when, as a church, we can come together in unity and create revival. We can make a movement so powerful that no amount of Satan's schemes can put it out. Y'all with me? We get into the fall season. And if you are a deer hunter, this is your time of the year to shine right now. Your wives do not like you. You will not be home for at least 2 months. Maybe you're a college football fan. Your wife also does not like you because all your buddies are at your house drinking all your drinks and eating all your food and stinking up your house every Saturday. Ladies, it's the pumpkin spice time of the year. Let's go. Pumpkin spice lattes, pumpkin spice whipped cream on your latte, pumpkin spice candles, pumpkin spice essential oils. I don't know what else you could do, but pumpkin spice everything. You go to town and your buddies are like, dude, why do you smell like a pumpkin? I don't know, man. It's pumpkin spice time of the year. So we all love fall, right? You got Thanksgiving. We get our bellies full. Everybody's fat and happy. We're having a good, good time. Fall may look like in your faith that there has never been a better time. There's never been a better time. You've been looking forward to this in your faith your entire life. Your entire walk with Jesus has got you to right here. This is the best time for you. Everything has been going miraculously. You have been leading others to Christ. You've been doing the works of the kingdom, and Jesus is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you're actually finally hearing the Spirit speak clear words and clear vision into your life that you've never heard before. Your connection with God has never been stronger than it is right now. Until something horrible happens that you don't have an answer for. Something horrible happens. You lose a child. Maybe your spouse is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer that they're not going to overcome. They're given 6 months to live. Now you got to start figuring out how you're going to spend the next 6 months of your life. Maybe you lost your career that you've worked 25 years for. You've poured blood, sweat, and tears into this company, and they fire you out of nowhere. They lay you off. Now what are you going to do? Can't pay my bills. I'm going to have to sell the house. Can't afford this mortgage. My kids have been in these high-dollar private schools. I can't afford it. What am I going to do? And then you start wondering, why have you forsaken me, Lord? What have I done? I've done everything right. I go to church every single time the doors are open. I talk to you multiple times a day. I have heard you speak back to me. I know you're real. What have I done so wrong? Why have you forsaken me? And then you wonder, are you even real? Have I been doing this all for nothing? Just like that, you find yourself back in the spring season, maybe even the winter season. Just like that, it's a revolving door. And I'm here to tell you, seasons of faith have no claim on your eternal life. Seasons of faith have no claim on your eternal life. With Jesus, these seasons will last, the bad seasons will last much, much less time. Matthew 14, verses 28 through 30. Again, I'm not going to read these verses to you. They'll be on the board, hopefully. I'm going to summarize this story to you. I think even atheists have probably heard this story of Jesus walking on the water. So I'm sure you're all familiar with it, but maybe you haven't actually sat down and read it and really kind of let the Spirit speak to you. There's a difference in reading the Word of God and asking for the Spirit to reveal a message to you. There's a huge difference. Otherwise, you're just reading a book full of stories. So this story in Matthew 14 is the story of Peter and the other disciples out in the boat on the water. And in the distance, they see a figure, looks like a man. They're like, what is that? And one of the disciples says, is that a ghost? And Peter starts to figure out pretty quickly, that might be Jesus. And so Jesus says, or Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And what does Jesus say? Verse 29, he says, come on. And so Peter is just so, I mean, you got to understand this. I know we're familiar with this story, but I want you to really think about this. You see a dude walking on the water, and you're not like a little bit freaked out? Like, this dude is standing on top of the water, not sinking. He ain't got no floaties on. The dude is walking on water. And Peter's like, just so amazed, like he's getting out of the boat, he's stepping on the water, and he starts walking to Jesus. And the Bible says just like that, the wind starts blowing, and what happens? Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus, worrying about the wind, and starts sinking. And immediately, Peter says, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. The Bible says immediately Jesus reaches his hand out, pulls Peter up out of the water, gets him into the boat, and he says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Notice Jesus doesn't come to Peter and say, Peter, man, that's my bad. I should have made the wind not blow very hard. I should have like made the water not so crazy for you. Man, I should have controlled the environment around you so that you could focus on me. No, he says, why did you doubt? He says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You see, Jesus didn't need to change the environment around Peter. Jesus needed to change Peter's perspective on his environment. People think that Peter was drowning in water. Peter was drowning in doubt. Peter was drowning in fear. And it was what? Lack of faith. You see, I don't know if you've picked up on this or not yet, but faith is the beginning of everything. Without faith, nothing else is possible. If you do not believe, How can you receive? Let me encourage you. The wilderness is not God's place of rejection, but preparation. The wilderness is not God's place of rejection, but preparation. A pastor once told me that if we're not taking steps forward every single day, it's equivalent to going backwards. You ever see those automatic sidewalks at the airport where you see like all the business dudes in three-piece suits and their briefcase and that's all they travel with for like a week? You're like, how do you get all your underwear and pants and everything in that one briefcase? But they do. Anyways, and they're on these automatic sidewalks and they're walking like Superman light speed because these things go with the motion that you're walking. You ever thought about, like, you're seeing like some kid and they're like going backwards on it and they're like walking against, so it's coming this way and they're walking this way and they're going like against the current there. What happens when they stop walking? Takes them backwards, right? That is the picture I'm trying to paint. If you're not walking forward, if you're not growing, if you're not striving, if you're not running to Jesus as fast as you can get there, you will be pulled backwards. Mark 11, verses 22 through 25. So you got to understand, this is the latter part of what we talked about to begin with the fig tree, right? So the fig tree day, verses 12 through 14, Jesus and the disciples are leaving Bethany, headed to Jerusalem. That's when he curses the fig tree. You remember we were talking about this? It wasn't all that long ago. I would say like 20 minutes ago. So Jesus curses the fig tree. This is the following day. So the very next day, Jesus and the disciples were headed from Jerusalem back to Bethany. On the same road, I'm assuming there was one, I don't know, but I think there was just one road because they were on the same one. So they come across the fig tree that Jesus had previously cursed the day before, and Peter sees it, and Peter says, Rabbi, that tree, the one that you cursed yesterday is dying. The Bible says the roots were withered, so the tree was dying. And Jesus does the most Jesus thing. I love Jesus. I love his like reaction to everything. It's just so cool. So Jesus does like the most Jesus thing. So Peter's like, dude, this tree's dying. Like, are you kidding me? You cursed it with your words. And Jesus turns around and says, have faith in God. That's his reaction to what Peter's saying about this tree dying. Have faith in God. Verse 22. Verse 23, he says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Do you understand how powerful that is? Jesus is saying, if you are not doubting in your heart, if you're talking to God and you're not doubting in your heart that what you're saying will happen, it will happen. We could tell this gym right now, in other words, to make it modern day comparison, tell this gym to go throw itself into the Notley River, and it's going to. You understand that? You understand how powerful that is? So we see the stipulation pattern over and over and over again in the Bible. It's believe, faith, do not doubt, fear not, which is said over 300 times in the Bible. There's a reason why these things, why Jesus and why God throughout the entire Bible continues to say these things, because it's the most important part of it all. Faith is at the center of all the powers vested us by Jesus' death. He said, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have done and even greater things. So tell me, church, let me ask you a question. Why do you think we're not doing these things? I ain't here to make you feel comfortable. Why do you think we're not doing these things? And let me tell you, this is not a mountain talking to a valley. I'm right there with you, okay? We lack faith. The body of Christ, the church, this nation, this world has completely taken its eyes off of Jesus. And that is exactly why we are not doing these things and greater things. Why are we not healing the sick? Why are we not making the blind see again? Why are we not casting out demons? Why are we not bringing death to life? Jesus did these things, and he says in his word right here, he says, you will do these things and even greater things. It is 100% lack of faith. Whether you want to be honest with yourself or not, it is 100% lack of faith. I don't care if you've been following Jesus for 40 years or 4 days, it is lack of faith. And it's time that we find our faith. And I get it, man. It's hard. It is the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do. I don't know if there's anything harder than believing. I mean, am I wrong? Am I alone here? Guys, I don't want to discourage you. I'm not here to try to discourage you. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that a nobody who's never preached a sermon in his life can get up here and talk in front of you guys today because God said I could. Yeah, you can clap. Do you understand how significant that is? Every single human in this seat today, sitting in this room today, can do exactly what I'm doing, exactly what Phil does. It doesn't have to be at a church, but you can do it somewhere. The gym, Bobby. The grocery store. Your workplace. If you work in a school system. Man, what better platform would anyone ever have? Worship team, if you guys want to make your way back up. So I want to end on this note. And I'm sure the question is, well, Chad, that's all great. I'm digging, man. I'm smelling what you're stepping in, Chad, but how do I do these things, you know? So I jotted these notes down, and I truly believe, you know, obviously it's really easy to come up with some catchy stuff and throw it down and, like, put it as notations. I get that. But I truly believe that if we do these things and we apply them to our lives each and every day with faith being at the center of all these things, I truly think we will see a difference, and really the only difference. So, be in prayer, but not just speaking words. Believe what you're praying and that it will happen. Believe that you've already received what you're asking for. Have faith. What is that? It's believing in God. I know it's hard. Believe. We have to believe. Have faith. Be in his word so that you can better understand how to speak to him. If we're not filling our minds with the word of God, the enemy will fill it with stress, anxiety, negativity, and temptation, and so much more. Do not stay subject to life's circumstances. I know some of y'all have been through hell and back. I get it. Some of your lives have been impossible. I get it. But Jesus never promised us an easy walk here on earth. He never said, this is, man, follow me and your life's going to be peaches and rainbows. He never said that. He said really quite the opposite. He said the fox has a hole, the birds has a nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Wow, that's an encouraging way to sales pitch for me to follow you, isn't it? But Jesus knew that the eternal promise would outdo any awesome, cool things that we could ever come about here on earth. Do not stay subject to your life circumstances. Bad things happen, but good things are coming. Good things are coming.